tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside Wall Street, Matt Modica, and Gramps over here, Scott Angle, I am Greg Sussman. Maddie, what's going on, man?
It is Friday, baby.
It's a Super Bowl Friday is what that
That's
is.
That's right. We got Kango Scott in the house.
We got Kango Scott with the full beard. This is wild today. What's up, Scotty?
How you doing this morning, my young man?
I'm doing well.
It's a big night for Scott today.
Yeah. What's going on tonight, Scott? What's the big
night? Going to his old stomping grounds.
Staten Island? Were you in Staten Island
today? Going to the St. George Theater to see Ace Frehley.
Wow, look at this. Are you going dressed like this? Is this a plan here?
No, not necessarily, right. No.
Why?
I have, like, different gear for those kind of things.
Oh. Leather and lace, Scott Angle.
Assless chaps, maybe?
Potentially so. Potentially so.
I'm going to show my Howard Stern butt to anybody.
Hellbent for leather.
There you go.
Hellbent for leather.
Corey has the day off today.
Hamilton weekend
has begun. He kind of told us this during a break yesterday. I was like, are you really taking off? And then all of a sudden he's not here. So Hamilton weekend has begun for Corey. I don't know that he'll be back on Monday, to be perfectly honest with you.
I hope so. They're not taking a holiday on Monday. So
Hamilton weekend.
Thanks for listening to the show, Scott.
I can't listen to every single minute.
You listen when you're home.
Yes, sir. We're
talking about it for weeks. It's a big weekend for Scott, for Corey. On the program today, it'll be you and I going for like the next 17 hours or so. But on the program today, we got a little baseball. We'll do some basketball coming up at 7:55 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm gonna get your NBA recap. That should be pretty fun. A lot of Super Bowl coverage. Obviously, we got some prop bets coming up later on in the program. Is Mike Lyon later on in the program? It'll be Matt versus myself. Scotty, unfortunately, we'll have to depart for that. We have some on this day in history. A lot of NFL, of course, because, listen, the Super Bowl is this Sunday. It is one of those magical weekends of the year. I have to ask you, because you said, listen, I'm taking a holiday Monday, right? Why isn't the Super Bowl a holiday? Why isn't the Super Bowl Monday a holiday? Excuse me.
Yeah, I don't get it. I know Jake's made the point, you know, make it, add a couple of bye weeks into the season or stuff like that. Just move the schedule. Makes sense. You can move it to President's Weekend.
Correct.
Or you can just move President's Weekend to now.
Well, it was literally.
However you want to do it.
It is the easiest solution ever. You just move President's Day up, or you push the season back and push President's Day up 1 week. Boom! You have it. I'm not saying that I would be off, but like for a lot of America, President's Day is a national holiday. President's Day should be Super Bowl Monday. It's the easiest solution ever, Scott.
A lot of people treat the Super Bowl like it's a holiday. You know, they have these big parties.
Right.
And everything.
Right. So that's why Monday you should have off.
I don't have a necessarily have a problem with it. I guess the government doesn't see it as like strictly important enough to do something like that, though. It's more of like a game and entertainment. You should be back at work the next day. But a lot of people treat it like it's a holiday.
Do you think that if everyone stood up for the national anthem, President Trump would be like, all right, Monday, you got it. You're off.
I think so, too.
He's the type of president that would do that, yes.
There you go. Stand. Get us all off. We'll take a break. Headlines coming up next. Roto Experts next 3 hours here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
All right, Super Bowl. this weekend. It's finally here. Mike Florio, Scotty, was saying earlier this week that he feels like this is like the least amped up Super Bowl in a while. Do you feel that way?
Tony was saying that on the Fantasy News Desk as well. And I think, I said, yeah, because at this point, everybody outside of New England is pretty much, okay, it's the Patriots again. They do what they do. You know, it's almost like the Chicago Bills in the 90s. It's like, okay, here we go again. It's not exciting. I think that the thing from America, though, I think there's a Super Bowl that nobody wants to see anybody win, where if they could get a tie, they could, because most people outside of New England don't want to see Brady win again, and nobody outside Philadelphia wants to see the Eagle fans get any sort of rewards for the way they act. So I feel like there's less buzz, you know, I guess within the small circle that we're in, just people are not talking about it. You know, you felt excitement with some of the past Super Bowls. Like, you know, you look back, like even last year, like Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, could this team, you know, take down the Patriots? They had a legitimate shot. Before that, you had Cam Newton versus Peyton Manning. That was interesting. Then you had the Seahawks with the defending champs versus the Patriots trying to win for a long time. So they've had more compelling storylines. But I will note this, though. When the Eagles lose Sunday, that's three bird teams in a row that will have lost to the Patriots. So I'm expecting the Cardinals to lose next year.
Interesting. When he says, when. We'll talk about
that was like a little Frank Perdue. Three bird teams in a row lose.
Frank Perdue.
How about that?
Takes a tough man to make a turn the chicken. I'm dating myself a little bit.
Yeah. No, commercial. I got the commercial. I had to like catch up there.
Say Colonel Sanders. He's timeless.
There we go. Yeah. Now you'd be on my way. I don't know, man.
Even Reba McEntire wants to be Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. To me, I don't feel like this is any less hype than normal. I remember thinking, we had that conversation last year on Roto Experts about, is this Super Bowl the least hype Super Bowl ever? And I just think that when we are in it every day, and we're talking about it every day, I'll be quite honest, right? We get fatigue from it. We get fatigue because there's only so many storylines you can go over. And that's why over the last week, you and I have had some of our best fantasy baseball conversations that we've had yet. And then next week, it'll be all about that. And I think maybe because we've done the Patriots thing before, as Scott kind of alluded to. All right, so it's not nearly as intriguing as it could have been if it was the Jaguars, let's say. But I don't necessarily think there's less interest. There's going to be 115 million plus people that watch this on Sunday, right? It's going to be very close to, if not the most watched event in American history. So I don't really think that.
I just think most of the hype of the Super Bowl is overplayed now. You got the two-week period. Look, if Minnesota would have made it in, they would have had the home field advantage. That would have been a great storyline.
Certainly, yeah.
You know, the first time ever a team is playing at home. The Eagles, I mean, not for nothing. Week 15, Nick Foles was great. After that, he was horrible. Everybody wrote him off. He has that great game versus the Vikings. I mean, it was truly a fantastic game. But I'm not really confident in Nick Foles doing that again. I'm not going to root against greatness. I'm not going to root against, I'm a Bills fan, but you know, what the Patriots have done, the dominance and all that, and people complain they don't get penalties. Bill Belichick coaches this team a certain way. I know there's the conspiracy theorist in people that say, you know, it's rigged for the Patriots. I'm not buying that. I'm a Bills fan. I get to see a lot more Patriot games than Bills games. We all do. You know, unless you're sitting there every week watching your specific team and that only. So, look, I'm excited for the game. The game has its excitement because even people that aren't football people, some people watch for the advertising. You're going to a party in certain cases. So it's that whole festive vibe going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with this whole thing with the refs, it's silly. You know, crying about the refs is for losers. You know, I learned that a long time ago, you know, about football. It's you know, the Jaguars had their opportunities to win, and I think you know as a Yankee fan, too, that, like, when a team wins for a long period, people get frustrated and they start saying these kind of things. I've heard this about the Yankees. I've heard it about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, when franchises dominate for a long period, people always looking for cracks in the armor. This team always finds a way to win. Just stop it.
Speaking of referees, by the way, Gene Steratore, the referee, we're very excited that, you know, I care about these things. Very excited that he gets to referee his first Super Bowl. He's a Big Ten ref as well, basketball-wise. He's been fantastic for a long time. I'm excited. But I was reading earlier this week that, like, he tends to call games that he referees, there tends to be more penalties in than other games, for instance. So if there's an over-under on penalties, take the over.
Yeah, just, you know what? Throw three flags on the Patriots early, get out of the way, and then when they win the game, the critics will have nothing to say.
Just because you brought the topic up about penalties and stuff like that.
Sure.
Like in baseball, and DFS has really brought this to the forefront, it is very important when you know who's umpiring games.
Definitely.
You know, certain guys have wider strike zones, and, you know, knowing that is a key thing. So, I mean, look, I still don't see the Patriots becoming undisciplined. That's been one of the mantras that has gone on for a long time with this team, and I don't know. I do like the Eagles' defense. It's that's what gives them a chance here, but I think the Patriots have we've seen the thing the Eagles have had problems with this playoff. That's the pass catching back, and the Patriots have a triple threat at that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, speaking of the Patriots and whatever, did you guys watch the two Bills last night, by any chance?
I did not. I realized at 10 o'clock it had been on, and I was like, okay, I'll catch
the next time. Did you watch it, Scotty?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Honestly, I had a lot of hype about it, like within the media and everybody saying it was really, really good, and I was really excited to watch it, and it was like the most. I wasn't dressed down, but it was just like, all right, Bill Belichick's a normal dude, right? Like, it was finally seeing Belichick just in a normal human element. It's also amazing that neither of them wanted to go into the Jets locker room. Hysterical.
Yeah, I definitely want to catch this, though, because, you know, two of the greatest coaches of all time, and, you know, the usually in these series of films, you know, you get good stuff, and there's a reason why it's advertised like it is. I missed it last night, but I certainly want to check it out. It's like, I love a good sports documentary.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting, Scott?
Yeah.
I think anyone loves a good sports documentary. Like,
you don't always get them, though. I've watched some of these football lives, and they've been disappointing.
I don't always watch those, but like when you have a good topic, like some of these 30 for 30s, the upcoming like Andre the Giant HBO documentary that they're pushing out now, like, at least my girlfriend, you know, kind of likes football, not really. And she walked in last night, she's like, oh, what is this? I was like, oh, it's this documentary on Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells. This looks awesome. I'm like, yeah, it is awesome. Like,
yeah, it's stuff like I don't even watch sometimes. Like when that Ric Flair 30 for 30 came out, I'm not a wrestling fan,
right,
but I just thought it was just a very interesting celebrity
story.
Sort of figure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just the story itself. Sometimes you don't even watch the sport itself, but yet the documentary for one reason or another is compelling.
Absolutely. And that's why a lot of 30 for 30 has been good. It's not all exactly about stories that I care about, right? Like, I only care about, you know, a narrow focus, let's say. And some of these 30 for 30s have just been really tremendous.
You know, some have been. I mean, even my wife has gotten into some.
Exactly.
It's like the Bo Jackson one
that
she loved and then made her want to watch a couple more.
The You was amazing.
Yeah, I think probably my favorite one is the June 17th.
Oh, 1994.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, that day to me is so vibrant. I remember going to the Rangers parade. I remember coming home. The Knicks were on that night and the OJ, the white Bronco thing happened. I remember exactly where I was, and
the one I didn't like was the fantasy baseball one. Actually, and maybe that's
boring.
Just because I heard the story like 10 billion times, but I didn't feel like it was compelling.
Yeah, I think
you are the fantasy baseball story, Scott.
By the way, you are. I'm the football story.
You mentioned OJ. You mentioned OJ just now. A little preview on this day in history: OJ Simpson married his second wife, Nicole Brown Simpson.
What a shame.
Silence.
I don't know. I don't want to add to that. Know if there's anything you can.
Yeah, I don't think
rest
I can.
Rest in peace. That's all I can
any
say.
Any good commentary.
Just saying. That is today in sports history. All right. I kind of wish Corey was here for that.
Yeah, that
maybe it's a good thing he wasn't.
No, now that you're not around, he's actually much more contained.
Except for when I call in at 7:30.
Right.
He sits here to, like, you know, take one, two snipes, and then he walks out.
Yeah, pretty much how it goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much how it works. But, yeah. Whatever. Okay, so when we come back after the break, we're finally going to have the conversation that you've been wanting to have. We'll take a little pause from football because we're going to do football for much more of the program, a little basketball coming up. But I want to have the conversation with you, Matt, and now that Scott is here too, about Justin Verlander.
We're really going to do this?
We're really going to
do
it.
I don't believe it.
It's been
fake news.
It's been in this rundown for five straight days. Finally, when we come back, we'll turn the cameras on. I don't know why hell is that a camera that's not on. But we'll talk about Justin Verlander. Is he a fantasy ace? What do you expect from Justin Verlander? We will break it down when we come back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Moment that Matt has been waiting for. It's time to talk about Justin Verlander. All right, let's do it. It's Super Bowl Friday, and I get that. Plenty of Super Bowl coverage coming over the next 2 hours. I want to take this snippet of time to talk about Verlander. Matt Modica, where is he going right now in drafts?
He's been a guy that's gone anywhere. I mean, I've seen him go as high as, like, right after the turn.
Okay.
For me, which is a little too crazy.
After the 1-2 turn or the 2-3 turn?
The 1-2 turn and 15 team draft.
Okay.
He's more consistently going in the, say, middle to end of that second round.
Okay.
Still too high for me. Okay. I'm just going to be honest with
so
you.
So he's going middle to end of second round. What number pitcher that is?
Hold on. All right. This second, and I will have that. I was having said other things.
Fantasy Pros, by the way, the ECR has him at number 11, right behind Luis Severino.
Okay.
Right ahead of Zach Greinke and Yu Darvish.
Okay, so there you go. So number 11 on Fantasy Pros right now.
As far as, like, the last 2 weeks, I narrowed that down. He's the 11th starter off the board. Yep, so there has been a change, because earlier on, he was going, say, it would be like, say, the threesome would be him, Strasburg, and Bumgarner. Now he's going after the, I mean, it's not much of a difference, but just after, say, Severino, DeGrom, and Carrasco, I would take all three of those guys over Verlander. I'm probably one of the low men on Verlander coming into the season. You know, what he did down the stretch was fantastic, but I have a lot of caution flags.
Get to the caution flags in just a moment. And hello, YouTube. Welcome inside Studio 34. This is Scott Angle. He's the king. He's wearing a Kangol hat. This is Matt Modica's Wall Street Corey, of course, enjoying Hamilton weekend. Now, Scotty was just talking about Justin Verlander. He is your 11th starting pitcher off the board right now. Now, Matt has some concerns, which he's expressed to me, which is why we're doing this video in general. But Scotty, I want to go to you first. He's number 11, and Justin Verlander has, in recent years, gotten off to a pretty slow start. But when the calendar gets a little bit warmer, as we've seen with many aces across MLB, he becomes lights out. Certainly when he got to Houston, that was the case. Leads them all the way to a World Series championship. Justin Verlander as an SP1. Are you in?
You know what? I know maybe why Matt, you know, though he'll speak more to it, isn't quite, because I think I would probably say no. I would probably say high-end SP2 because you don't perceive a lot of upside there. And, you know, some of the guys that are ranked behind him, maybe Carlos Martinez has more upside than a Justin Verlander. Now, look, you give Verlander a lot of credit. You know, you look at 2015, we thought he was done, but he's remade himself over the last two seasons when you look at all the overall numbers. The Ks per nine are impressively back up. He started throwing the slider less and the changeup less and the slider more. It started working for him. The guy remade himself, but he's 34 years old. How much upside does he have right now? You look at the first half last year. The ERA's over 470. The consistency isn't there. Maybe for a head-to-head play with a rotisserie kind of format, you can save it more. I think I'd like to get somebody with maybe a little bit more upside. If I wait, and I often do on pitching, and I still need an SP1, and he's the only guy left there, I'm satisfied with it. I mean, look, 304 and 336 ERAs. The case per nine has been around 10 the last 2 years. Nice job of remaking himself. But when you look at the first halves and you look at some of the guys being taken behind or around them, it's not as sexy. You know, Justin Verlander isn't a sexy pick.
Here's the thing. Look, first off, I'm a pro Verlander guy. I love Kate.
I'm a Verlander guy. Next line, I love Kate.
Yeah. No, but he is a warrior. I'm happy.
Kate there for a minute.
I'm happy he got his World Series ring. He pitched deep into the playoffs, into the World Series, all that stuff. Look, he's going to be 35 in 3 weeks. And I'm not an ageist, but I look at last season, the first 4 months. This is a guy whose strikeout percentage was down. His walk percentage was like 4.5. His walks per nine. What really changed was what Houston has done really well, too, is they pretty much will emphasize your best pitch. Throwing your best pitch. He was very hot, heavy with the slider. Like Scott said correctly, the change he basically scrapped, used the curve here and there. But here's the difference. You look at this second half, and it was phenomenal. He went from basically almost a 5 ERA to a sub 2 ERA. Now, I look at the second half, and I see a BABIP of 211. I see a left on base percentage of 97%. This is not sustainable in any world. This is a guy who I don't like to bet against, but I don't have him in my top 10. He's more around that 15 range for me. I could be wrong. He's on the best team in baseball, so that is a big positive for him.
Yeah, and he can't chase wins, but, there's a good probability that more wins will be there than not. And when you point to his BABIP, yeah, and his left on base percentage, when you look at overall, not just first half, it is a little bit more fortunate than it has been in past seasons.
Well, but just look at the difference from the first half to the second half. It's basically 100 points in BABIP. It's, 25% in left on base. These are huge.
He was 7.7% left on base for the whole season, and that was his best mark since 2011, so I'm riding with you here.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you look, and I'm not that confident. I saw what happened in the first half. He can figure things out. We've seen him go, as you said correctly, Greg, go on these second half runs. So for me, though, I'm going with other guys that I believe in more. And, I'm giving you some reasons here. It depends how you want to play it, but I do like the fact that drafting wise, I don't. I like that he was going earlier, so I was getting my guys, say, a little later. Now I have to maybe push up, because I wanted Carrasco, I wanted DeGrom, and I'll even take Severino. What Severino did all season long was one of the most impressive and consistent seasons, if you really look into the numbers last year.
Now, all of those guys that you just named, Severino, Carrasco, DeGrom, they're all going ahead of Justin Verlander.
In the last 2 weeks. Sure.
In the last 2 weeks, as Scott pointed out, on Fantasy Pros as well. Now, the question I have is, when you're building your team, you talk a lot about roster construction here, right? You're building your team in the first and the second round, and you get a couple of hitters to fill out your roster, and then maybe you're picking towards the end of that third round. Like, right, maybe you started off, you pick 10, 11, you come back-to-back with hitters, which happens all the time, and you get to that end of the third round, Scotty, and these pitchers that maybe Matt likes a little bit more, Carrasco, DeGrom, Severino, whoever, maybe that's the case. Verlander's number 11, he's the guy that's there. All the reasons you guys both just gave for a potential decline in Verlander, they're true, right? Like, a little bit of ageism, your Babbitt, you pointed out, how cold he's been, and maybe he's better in certain leagues. Scotty, are you willing, and you mentioned some names before, but are you willing to, I guess, reach up a little bit, go grab yourself a Carlos Martinez, for instance, a couple of guys a little bit past him? Robbie Ray comes to mind as well.
Chris Archer
absolutely, yeah, comes to mind as well, that are going past Justin Verlander and just reaching up, grabbing these guys instead? Or are you going to take a shot with Verlander there because the value is right? Like, what would be the mindset there?
Mindset is, you know, but usually, like, probably, like, right there, I'm more thinking hitter than I am pitcher. And if I am thinking pitcher, I think he's got to have more upside than, you know, the type of numbers that Matt has laid out. You know, you look at the age, too, and, you know, look, you Darvish is right around that area, too. And, you know, somebody else you got to consider. But I might be more motivated to take a Carlos Martinez, a Robbie Ray, or even a James Paxton.
James Paxton, really? Yeah. You're going to put him in that category?
Yeah.
Would you take James Paxton over Justin Verlander? Is that what you're saying?
It's something I would consider, or I'll just pass on Verlander, depending on where they'll turn. It's like, let's say I'm at 310, and then maybe in the fourth round I'll say, okay, let Verlander slide. I'll take a hitter here and wait, come around the next round, and maybe I'll get like a Paxton or a Nola or something like that.
Now, two names that I know you have quite an affinity for, Matt Modica, certainly Aaron Nola here in 2018, and James Paxton back last year in 2017. Scott Purcell brought up something interesting. Would you take James Paxton over Justin Verlander?
That would be an interesting thing. It's just basically, am I trying to get a floor or am I trying to go for upside? Because if Paxton ever got, say, more than 150, say from 160 to 180, you know, he could win a Cy Young. He has that ability.
Sure.
It's tough to start with him as my anchor.
Right.
So right now, and Paxton I loved and adored last year, I have zero shares right now.
Okay.
It's just the way it's worked out. If I'm going to wait on pitching, I have a hard time making him my ace. Garrett Cole is a guy that I've gone all in along with Aaron Nola this year.
Yep.
And if I could start with those two, I'm pretty damn happy as my.
Would you want to start with Verlander Paxton, like 3-4?
Well, I wouldn't be Paxton. I'm not drafting in the fourth. I think I'm pulling him up too much. He hasn't given me the innings.
So what it does sound like to me, and you've said you start. You just said it. You started with Garrett Cole and Aaron Nola in quite a few leagues. Mm-hmm. Two guys.
Those are my most owned.
Those are two guys you absolutely love. You're drafting them as 1-2, I assume, as your fantasy ace and your number two. That means, and you say this a lot with players that I bring up, Matt, that if Justin Verlander and the like are the top ones on the board in the third round, let's say, you're going in a different direction. You're going to grab another hitter at that point.
At that point, I'm either probably going to grab another hitter or I'll take a Kenley Jansen.
Okay.
Jansen's to me is what Kershaw was to the starting pitcher market when he was clear and above before these injuries. So in overall leagues, I don't like taking closes early. But a Kenley Jansen in an overall where I can't trade, I'm going to do that.
Okay. Scotty, do you agree?
I'm good with that. But I could see that, but I'm a guy who really waits on closers. You probably won't find Kenley Jansen on my team.
So you're not good with that? Why would you say I'm good with that?
No, I'm saying I respect that and I can see doing that, but it's not something I can do personally.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, these two are all arguing about something. We'll be back in a bit.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
We're back, Roto Experts. Prelude to Super Bowl weekend. I'm excited, Scott. Are you excited?
Not that excited. I always love watching football, but I can't say I'm jazzed by this matchup necessarily. It's the Patriots again, and like I said, you know, why do you necessarily want to see the Eagles, their fans, get a Super Bowl? Though for their players, in the organization, I can respect it more. But look, LeGarrette Blount's, you know, he's on a team here, and that might mean another ring for him. It was funny what he said yesterday. They said Brett Favre was going to dress the team, and he said, "Are you looking forward to Brett Favre saying anything?" And The reporters asked him, he said, well, how many rings does he have? He said, one. He said, no, not really. Because he's got more than Brett does.
Well, Scott's not excited. I will stay excited. But I want to throw it back to you, Scott. And give us a little tip breakdown on this new RotoExperts.com with the Market Fantasy Excellence. And what's going on there? Some changes I'm seeing.
Yeah, you look at the center of the homepage. We now have MLB and NFL player news powered by our friends at RotoBaller. So, you know, people a long time been asking, you know, you need player news on RotoExperts.com. And we got them now, along with a lot of early MLB analysis for fantasy baseball.
There you go. I mean, and it's coming. I mean, people keep saying, I mean, maybe, I'm the outlier here. I've been into baseball since right before Thanksgiving weekend. I did my first draft. But before you know it, 6 weeks from now, Scott, you'll be doing Tout Wars, right?
Yes, and, you know, we got the GST baseball coming up. So I've started my study. You know, it's a busy time of year for me because keeping up with the NBA, you know, baseball's coming up. We got the Daytona 500 on February 18th and doing fantasy sports today from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern. I got to keep up on everything. It's like I know a little NHL now. I got my esports going. You go to sportsgrid.com. We got all the esports that you want right now. You know, talking about a historic Boston major this past weekend where a North American team won for the first ever in Counter-Strike, first time ever in Counter-Strike Global Offensive, plus the Overwatch League continued last night. We got full coverage on that at Sports Grid.
There you go. We have a little bit of everything for you. But now let me, like I said, this weekend, Super Bowl. Now, you did mention Daytona. That's, I know in your household, that's another big. That's like the second Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, it's big. It's like the kickoff for the season, but it's different than other sports in regards like the biggest race is the first one. They call it the Super Bowl of racing, but that's because of the hoopla that surrounds it. It has the most tradition and the most money involved. But you can win a Daytona 500 and like Trevor Bayne in 2011 and not do anything the rest of the year. So it's the race with the most hoopla and the one that guys most want to win. But right now, the most important thing is you be that guy that's standing at the end at Homestead in the final race of the year, and you're the champion. Ultimately, that's more important.
Okay, so you're not even really that excited about Daytona.
I'm excited to.
The
kickoff of the season,
I'm going to have to call Sean up because I know Sean's got to be excited for
it. Oh, he's very excited. In fact, he has already started his writing for DailyRoto.com. His strategy guide is going to be up in a few days. The father and son fantasy NASCAR hour going to resume. But I'm just saying for the mainstream, like a lot of people will play DraftKings on Daytona on DraftKings, and then they won't go back, although they do have over 4,400 people playing. And I'll be talking about this more next week. NASCAR Fantasy Live has actually redesigned their game for this season with some interesting tweaks that I'm going to talk about next week.
Okay, and let's go back to baseball. I want to touch on a top. We're going to touch on the Brewers again. I know we've talked about this week, but I think it's really interesting. And before I get to the Brewers, I just want to say I know Chris Archer was told he's not going to be traded. I never believed that. I always think that anytime you hear somebody say that, that's pretty much the opposite will happen. And I'm of the belief he gets traded this season. He has a very friendly contract. He is their most valuable piece. I don't see the Rays really threatening the Yankees or the Red Sox this season or making that push for the wild card. So I think where he ends up at some point, and I think the Rays would be smart to wait this out, get the most bang for their buck, because this is a guy that will deliver a very nice return. So now, say he's going to get traded, but let's look at the Brewers, and we know you, Darvish. I don't think Darvish wants to go there. That's pretty much obvious. I think he really wants to be a Dodger. If not, I think the Yankees would be a fallback option for him. But the other options out there, like a Jake Arrieta, an Alex Cobb, or like a Lance Lynn, which one of those three you think the Brewers should go after as far as, you know, what it's going to cost them as well, you know, the acquisition costs involved, and who do you think is the best fit for maybe Miller Park?
Well, I think Darvish is sort of, how should you say, pie in the sky, as the cliche goes, and, you know, to get Archie, maybe it's a little more than they want to give up, because you know, you're really shooting for like a major staff ace there. But I think that's what they need. I mean, you look at Anderson. He had a breakout year. Kyle Davies looks like a bat boy, but he doesn't throw like one. And he had a big breakout year. Very impressed by him. But when you go past that, you got Chacin, who's the splits last year were so stark. You got Brent Suter. You know, you don't know what you expect from him necessarily. And then you got Gallardo. You got Woodruff. So, you know, this rotation really needs more depth if they're going to contend. Jimmy Nelson isn't coming back till June, Maddie. So, you know, you want somebody when Nelson comes back that you can pair with him. I think Lance Lynn is less glamorous and will probably cost less. And I think he'll probably make the most sense to fit there. Do the Cubs want to let Arrieta go? Arrieta's not quite the Cy Young guy that he used to be. So I'll probably say, ideally, they want to end up with Arrieta. You know, with the kind of moxie he's got and the veteran experience, he doesn't have to be a Cy Young guy necessarily. I don't know how good he'll be in that park. I think Lance Lynn is just a guy that I see ending up there. I think he's not truly a number one, but if you can come at people with a rotation of, say, a healthy Jimmy Nelson, Lance Lynn, Anderson and Davies, and then whoever you got as the fifth, I think you're okay.
Yeah, I think in-house, I think Josh Hader has to get it. I know how good he was in that role last season for them in high-leverage situations, but I still think this guy has to at least be given a shot. At least, you know, maybe stretch him out in the spring. Jimmy Nelson, like you said, say in June, that's injury optimism to me. I think it's more all-star break, and you still don't know how effective he's going to be. It was a breakout season. He had one of the best breakout seasons last year. It's unfortunate. I agree with you. I think Lynn's the guy that winds up ending up there. I think cost, financially, it'd probably be the best fit for them. Alex Cobb, I don't know what the hell his agent's thinking. I know the Cubs offered him like a 3-year deal for some really nice money, and he turned that down. I don't know if that's 100% true. That's the reports we got back. And Alex Cobb, to me, would be the last guy on this list. And I think they need somebody that's a little more durable, a little more proven. I know last year he took the ball and all that, but his numbers were not that impressive if you do a deep dive there. So as much as I like what the Brewers are doing on offense, I think the pitching really needs a stabilizing force at the front end. And as much as you said with Chase Anderson, look, I like what he did. And he made a lot of he evolved last year. But you're banking on him doing it again. It's a fly ball pitcher in that park that had an 8% home run to fly ball ratio. That's going to be tough. He's usually been around 14 or higher. So, and even with Davies, he's a more crafty kind of pitcher. He's not the guy that's going to have tons of swing and miss. So for everything they've done on the offensive side, if they really want to, you know, make that move against the Cubs and all that, and the Cubs, they got a couple of cracks in that rotation, which will make them vulnerable. But I think when it's all said and done, Chicago will answer those. I'm curious, do you think the Brewers, when it's all said and done, will answer it as well?
I think they will. You know, they got to make this other piece to contend. It's interesting you talk about Hader. It's really, you know, we've been hearing about him for the last year and a half, but control has really been the issue. And, you know, you can't have him as a potential closer or back end of the bullpen guy if the control's not going to rein in. I think ideally we all want to see him as maybe the fifth guy in that rotation, because I think if you got Davies, you got Anderson, you got Nelson, and then they pick somebody else up and you got Hader as the fifth, you have a really formidable rotation.
Yeah, I saw him a couple of years ago at the Arizona Fall League, and he was one of the most impressive arms out there. Like you said, the control. But last season, when he got into that rhythm, those final couple of months, I mean, he was dynamite. I know it's tough, especially in the way the game has changed now, the current landscape of it, where those seventh and eighth innings are so important. Teams don't like giving starters, you know, at least not anybody that's, say, middle to back end of the rotation, that third time around the order. So he does have he does come with a lot of value in the bullpen. I just think they need a guy with the upside, the swing and miss potential that he offers. Or, you know, maybe he's a guy that does get packaged in with a Domingo Santana and, you know, some other minor leaguers they have for a Chris Archer. Archer in the National League, it's it's kind of a catch 22. Taking him out of that home ballpark where he's so dominant,
yeah.
but getting him away from the animal that is the American League East is a benefit for him.
He doesn't have a consistent third pitch. That's something I worry about in a hitter's park. He's toyed with the changeup, but just doesn't use it enough. And as far as Domingo Santana, you know, there's been reports out there that other teams aren't necessarily on high on Domingo Santana as it would seem. You know, maybe Brett Phillips might be the piece that could bring something back.
Yeah, I think Phillips is more that fourth outfielder. I think he's a hell of a fielder. So we'll see. I mean, I've heard Danny Salazar, Domingo Santana. I don't know. Not a lot of teams have extra pitching.
That's Salazar headache.
But coming up next, Mr. Sussman's going to give you some NBA action. So stay with us. We'll be right back, Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
What's up, everybody? I am Greg Sussman, and this is your NBA recap from last night. Let's begin with the fantasy player of the night, and that was Nikola Jokic. Jokic led Denver to a 127-124 victory at home against the Thunder with his third triple-double of the season. He finished with 29 points, 13 rebounds, and 14 assists. The 14th assist? That was the biggest, as Jokic inbounded the ball cross-court to Gary Harris, who was able to hit the game-winning three-pointer as time expired. Jokic's triple-double gave him 72 fantasy points on the night. Good for, like we said, the fantasy player of the night. The Thunder lost despite Paul George's season-high 43 points, which was good for 61 fantasy points, while Russell Westbrook had a season-high 21 assists, just one off his career high of 22. The 21 assists led Russell Westbrook to 68 fantasy points last night. Russell Westbrook also has double-digit assists in each of his last four games. In his Detroit debut, Blake Griffin delighted the Pistons crowd, leading the way with 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists, chipping into 2 blocks as well. Griffin finished the night with 49 fantasy points in the Clippers' 104-102 victory over the Grizzlies. For Griffin, it was his fourth double-double in his last five games, and at least for one night, showed why the Pistons made the move to acquire him earlier this week. Andre Drummond chipped in 14 points and 15 rebounds, while the Grizzlies were led by former Kentucky Wildcat Andrew Harrison, one of the waiver wire darlings from this past week. Harrison had 18 points, 8 assists, and 4 rebounds, which was good for 35 fantasy points. The Grizzlies, who have not been playing Tyreke Evans, have been led by Harrison and Wade Selden. Selden didn't have it last night, but could be a major pickup for you next week. That was for Andrew Harrison, his second game in his last three, with at least 30 fantasy points. Your fantasy bargain of the night? That was San Antonio's Danny Green. In the Spurs' 102-91 loss to the Rockets, Green had 22 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block, which was good for 44 fantasy points. Priced on FanDuel at just $4,600, for those that were able to get Green in there, you probably were able to cash. We get it. Green has been very up and down all season long, but it certainly looks to be trending in the right direction for him, as he's had over 19 fantasy points in 8 of his last 10 games. For those that are always worried about getting Danny Green in there, at least things are trending in the right direction. It's never going to be easy, but hopefully make the right decision when it comes to Danny Green. For the Rockets, James Harden led the way with 28 points and 11 assists, while Clint Capela had 14 points and 13 13 rebounds in this Rockets victory against their cross-state rivals, the San Antonio Spurs. I am Greg Sussman, and that was your NBA recap. Have a fantastic weekend, and we will see you on Monday. When we come back here on the Roto Experts, we are going to get in... Headphones aren't working. We are going to get into the Super Bowl conversation. I have a lot of prop bets that I want to talk about. A lot of stuff that we've been trying to get to all week that we just have not been able to. A lot of in-game stuff that we wanted to get into. A lot of breakdown of the Patriots and the Eagles, of course. And also some statistics that we've kind of been waiting on. No more wait. The wait is over. That means this Sunday, it all goes down. It all happens, finally. I said before, I don't think we have Patriots exhaustion. I don't think there's been less hype around this. I think when it gets to Sunday, you'll be hyped. You'll get your boxes, you'll get your bets in, and you'll be ready to rock. I'm going to break it down with Matt Modica and with Scott Angle when we come back. The Roto Experts, it's 1 hour down, two more to go. Stick around. We'll be back right after this.